You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Joins us now, Tommy. How you doing?
Greg, I'm doing great. Trying to stay warm. Hope everyone else is too. Super cold. But had a great day working with Sean Bell's teams, his hockey teams, doing some media training for some elite-level young hockey players about to enter the junior ranks, Greg. So kind of cool to have that
classroom
environment.
Tell him to answer the question.
What?
Tell him to answer the question. That's always good. Just tell him to answer the question. Be honest. It's the best thing you could do.
They were great, honestly. Shout out to both crew. I think I was U18 and U15 I talked to. And, yeah, tell them to answer the question. No one-word questions. And just kind of just an introduction to media. Like, we're not there. We're not out to go get them and stuff like that. And they were really receptive. I showed them some great examples of excellent interviews, Mark Letestu being the gold standard, to some really bad examples. I started with the bad ones. I went to Marshawn Lynch, even though it's funny, but he gave some terrible interviews. And I showed them some not-so-great ones, some early Connor McDavid stuff, and some good passionate stuff. Remember Milan Lucic at the 2017 second-round playoffs after Game 5 in Anaheim, where he was like, somebody tell me what goalie interferences. So it just kind of, we went from there and worked our way up, and both groups and teams were absolutely fantastic. And it's cool to see that they're engaged and willing to listen. And you got to tell them, hey, be careful on social media, be smart. You're representing your team, your organization. And with the streaming of these games, Greg's, a lot of these kids are already doing interviews, which I think is really, really neat. Shows you where technology is right now, and I think that's awesome. And the better they're at doing media and giving them a head start, hopefully that's arrow up in their books. So a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it, and they were great.
Now, did you have to use a step stool? Like, how many of the kids were taller than you?
Not many, Greg's. I know a lot of people like to say, holy smokes, Tom, you're not really that small or tiny, Tom. I thought you were a midget or a little guy. And I'm like, nope, that's just Gregor and Strutty doing their thing. And, yep, I'm pretty average. So thanks to you, Greg's, and Struds. There's this
well, it's more so, let's
there.
Be honest, it was more so Strutty. Right, it's more so
yeah.
Strutty.
Yeah, but you get your shots in there.
Oh, I like to play funny, along but... for sure. Yeah, we got to keep the joke going, right? The best jokes are the ones that keep going.
Right? I honestly
like Godfather 4, right? Godfather 4, that joke will never die.
Honestly don't. I think it's hilarious that it shows how many people listen to our station and to the show and get a kick out of it. So bring it on.
Yeah, I love it. Now, Order fans, rightfully so, not loving the performance last night by Edmonton. Evan Bouchard, you know, got benched. That doesn't happen very often. But obviously, it was a combination of things. I don't think it was just the one play. Obviously, it wasn't the best play, but there's lots of guys who didn't make the right play. And Bouchard today, you know what? I thought Bouchard said everything perfect. He goes, you know what? Hey, I respect what the coach does. You sit on the bench, you open the gate, and he was running the gate basically, and he was cheering on his teammates. You know, you don't want to be the guy who's a poopy pants at that point. although I probably could come up with a better description. And he just said, "Hey, I gotta make better plays." And so I'm gonna be very curious to see how Evan Bouchard reacts tomorrow.
Well, the best reaction would be he plays fired up, engaged, and cleans up his mistakes. That would be the ultimate response. And it's good that, you know, after some tough love and a benching, maybe he learns from it. And that's good that he handled it, and his response to the media after the benching was one that he accepted it and looks at the things he can do better, because let's face it, he was awful on that third goal. He's had some really rough moments. We knew this would be a season where he would have peaks and valleys. It looked like he was starting to work towards peaking when he had those goals in back-to-back games, started at MSG with those two. And, you know, you hit bumps in the road. So this is another reminder that he's a work in progress. He's a young defenseman. He's not there yet. He's going to get better. He's going to start eliminating those mistakes, hopefully sooner than later. But if he were to come out and dwell and put the blame on others and have a negative attitude and outlook on what happened last night and how his season has gone for the most part this year, that would be a absolute red flag. But if he's approaching it with the right attitude, generally things start to work out. You pick up on mistakes you made, and you eliminate those from your game. So if he comes back with a solid performance tomorrow night, that's good. That's a step in the right direction. We know this is going to be a bumpy road for young defensemen. Philip Broberg's a year or two behind Bouchard. It's never an easy ascension for guys. Some guys make it look easy, but Greg's, as we all know, those are rare circumstances and instances.
Oh, 100%. Well, you look at very few players have this great track that just keeps going up, up. It's on an escalator or an for most players. There's lots that go up and boof, then you come down. Then you go up and then you come down over the course of the season. It's like that for lots of guys and definitely in their careers. And you know what? Maybe a little tough love. Jay Woodcroft knows Evan Bouchard's personality. Right. He's had him in the minors, right? So did Dave Manson. Coaches will know which guys can handle stuff at certain times and others can't. And then eventually you might have no choice. So, I don't mind it. I know we've had a lot of people saying, well, they should bench this guy and this guy. Coaches don't just bench guys all like, hey, no big deal, right? It's usually for things that they've discussed beforehand and have it. Now, the one thing last night, I saw Dylan Holloway and I asked Jay Woodcroft about it, man. You give Dylan Holloway a little bit more ice time. He just makes plays, right? Like the only mistake he made was not shooting. Definitely on the one occasion. I would have liked to have seen him shoot. But, man, that pass to Nugent Hopkins late in the game where he almost tied it in front of the net. Like, Dylan Holloway, and I asked Jay Woodcroft specifically, do you take that and want to play him higher? I expect Dylan Holloway to be in a higher position tomorrow, especially if Zach Hyman is out. But even if Zach Hyman's in, I'm playing Dylan Holloway. I'm starting him in my top six tomorrow.
He made a good play on that 3-on-2 to get himself into a position to score, and he deferred, and we were sitting and watching that happen in the second period. But he's been making good plays, and the willingness and desire to force his game forward is obviously something that stands out. Now, there's certain people that want him back in the minors. That might help him, could help him, but we know with their injury situation, he's up here. I don't mind giving him more time, elevated role. The fact that he was out there late in the game, made that play to Nugent Hopkins, nice save by Lindgren, obviously, in a crucial situation. I'm all right with that, Greggs, because you could see he's hungry and he's willing to try things. Yes, he's made mistakes. He's had some tough lessons as a rookie, but they haven't really deterred him. So I like that attitude, and I appreciate it about him. And if he continues to forge forward and fight through the tough times and the growing pains as well for him, I'm certainly open to seeing him get more looks and opportunities, minutes played. And the fact that he was out there again later in the game trying to get something going offensively, I think is a tell to how maybe a little bit of trust is being built with the coaching staff and him. And how he's one of the guys that when the chips are down and you need some guys to be going, he is one of those guys willing and able to try to make something happen despite the fact that he doesn't have a lot of experience at this level.
What would you do with your goalies? Do you play Campbell tomorrow, Skinner Friday, or Skinner tomorrow, and then maybe Skinner Friday? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, this popped up last night on the post-game show because you watched how that team coughed up so many shots and Skinner had to stand tall, and you've got an Arizona team coming in tomorrow night that probably is going to work hard, try to grind you out, try to force your defensemen into doing what Washington was able to do and have their way in the Oilers' zone. I think they stick with the plan. My guesstimate would be that they stick with the plan and probably go to Jack Campbell tomorrow. But the temptation to go back to Stuart Skinner, who had a brilliant performance, set a career high in saves yesterday, facing 50 shots, it grows, especially when you want these points. You need to bank these points against Arizona. If you let 2 points slip away to the Coyotes, that's embarrassing, especially coming off of a loss that had some really rough moments against the Caps last night. So all of a sudden, you go, all right, the plan would probably be to go to Jack Campbell, let him try to build up his game against what is a perceived weaker opponent in the Coyotes, where their standing is in the overall playoff picture. They're so far down that you would think that that would be a perfect scenario for a Jack Campbell start, build up his game. Now, all of a sudden, do you trust the guys in front of your goalies? Well, your one goalie's not going right now. He's having a tough time. He's called his game pathetic. Can you trust him tomorrow night to get the job done for you, especially if the guys in front of him aren't firing on all cylinders? So I think the temptation has grown to maybe go back to Stuart Skinner, but my guess is that they go to Jack Campbell and they let him try to build his game, because he's got to work his way out of this. You know, Calvin Pickard's not coming up anytime soon to be a savior of any type. And you got to grind.
Well, it might be Rodri. Rodri's been playing lights out down there, actually. So,
and Pickard's been banged up too. So that's that's another issue too. Is like, you got to work through it. These are tough situations. They're frustrating for the fan base. And we're getting a lot of instances, Greggs, of deja vu to last season early this year. Are you feeling that too? Because on the post game, it just feels like we're talking about the same subjects we were in December and January of last season.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, the Oilers, like, they've won 4 of 6, so it's definitely not as bad as last December. Like, last December was awful.
Fair.
They won 2 of 15. So, you know, like, last night was a tough game for the Edmonton Oilers, no doubt. But the prior 5 games, I thought they'd been fairly decent, right? So now it's, do they bounce back? That's going to be the key to me for the Edmonton Oilers. Do they bounce back after it was a performance I don't think they liked? And, you know, then their next 3 games, mini, Nashville, you know what, those are big, heavy teams. Those are going to be tougher tests, because Edmonton doesn't really have a big, heavy team at all. So, you know, there are certain teams that you match up well against and some you don't. And that Minnesota-Nashville, that trio of games, that's going to be a little bit tough for Edmonton. They're going to need some guys to play a little bit bigger. So we'll see how they do it. Tommy, have yourself a great day. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
You too, Greg. See you tomorrow.